There's one question which broods over all of America tonight, and that is, what is the current score? No one knows. And so it shall be that we shall all wonder for the next hour what the score is. Thank you for being here instead of in front of your TV screen and not wondering what the score is. Oh, thank you. If I had my wallet. Chuck Wall was a human relations instructor at Bakersfield College. One day when he was watching the TV news, he heard a story about a shooting. At the end of it, the reporter called the activity another random act of senseless violence. That gave Wall an idea. He would have his students do something out of the ordinary to help someone and then write an essay about it. He dreamed up a bumper sticker that went with it. It said, "Today I will commit one random act of senseless kindness. Will you?" The bumper stickers sold for $1 each, and the profits went to a local Braille institute. One student paid his mother's utility bills. Another student bought 30 blankets from the Salvation Army thrift store and gave them to homeless people. The idea took throughout the entire county in all kinds of settings. Wall commented, "I had no idea it would erupt like this. No idea that our community was in such need of something positive." People respond well, don't they, to simple acts of kindness. Kindness is a demonstration of grace. As we've been studying this whole idea of grace and how it has so many different presentations, demonstrations, complexions to it, this is just another one of those. Kindness is expressed as we show mercy, love, usefulness, gentleness, and goodness toward people. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul lists kindness as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Each Christian, we're told as this chapter progresses, beginning with verse 16, is to live by, be led by, and to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is and lives in every Christian. So a question for each of us to ask ourselves very personally and privately. Do I practice kindness as a way of life? Now that's something that we may need to ask someone else about to get some perspective. Probably all of us would like to think that, well, sure, I'm a kind person. Well, sure, I'm kind in every kind of context, every kind of situation. But do you think others would necessarily agree with you? Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't. But it's something for us to really think about, isn't it? Do I practice kindness as a way of life? What does it say about us as Christians if we do not produce the fruit, the spiritual fruit, of kindness? What does it say about us? We must be quenching the Spirit. Joyce is one step ahead of me. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, it teaches Christians, do not put out the Spirit's fire. What is that? I mean, we read through that. Paul has this whole bunch of little shorties in the very end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I mean, they're all like 3, 4, 5 words long. It's just blip, 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 blip. So we can kind of skip through those real quickly and maybe not stop and think about it. What does it mean to put out the Spirit's fire? I mean, is that anything like, you know, having indigestion? Quench the zeal? So if the Spirit is compelling us or urging us or leading us to do something. After all, living by, being led by the Spirit is what Paul talks about there in Galatians chapter 5. And we resist doing that, then we're putting out the Spirit's fire. Whether we do that intentionally or unintentionally doesn't really matter, does it? We're still omitting it. So, if we fail to grow in kindness, are we putting out the Spirit's fire within us? What do you think? Now, obviously, with these other traits that are listed in Galatians 5, it's not just kindness. I mean, there's a whole list of them, aren't there? But as we're thinking about kindness tonight, if we fail to develop kindness as a way of life, are we putting out the Spirit's fire within us? Bruce? Vine, and you are the branches. That's something serious to think about, isn't it? And again, it applies not simply to kindness, as listed there in Galatians 5, but it certainly applies to kindness. It's not something to be taken for granted. It's not something to be ignored and just assumed that kindness is a part of our character. Much like last week when we were talking about gentleness. Kindness and gentleness, those are things that we want people to exert toward us, but they're not things that we necessarily always demonstrate toward other people, are they? They're not things to be taken for granted. And as we talked about last week, they're not always easy to demonstrate. Not by any means. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, Peter lists kindness as one of the traits that each Christian is to add to his or her character. And notice what Peter says there. He says, so that we may participate in God's nature. Now, you know, it's one thing to talk about not producing the fruit of the Spirit, which includes kindness. It's one thing to talk about putting out the Spirit's fire. And those are all extremely significant, aren't they? Because those things have to do with interacting with the Holy Spirit. But this is a little more blunt and straightforward, isn't it? If we don't add kindness to our character, we will not participate in God's nature. So a Christian does not have kindness as an option to have within our character. It's not just for Christians who are kind either by nature or by nurture. Kindness is a trait that God expects each of us to develop and to demonstrate as a way of life. It's not just being nice. It's having God's character. So when we think about the idea that when we confess our faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, the Son of God, when we turn away from our sins and we're baptized into Christ and forgiven of our sins, we become a son or daughter of God. And God expects us then, from that point forward, to demonstrate His character in our life. Now, depending upon our background and how we've been nurtured, how we've been trained up by our parents, we may or may not have a lot of growth to do in some of these traits. But if we're going to participate in God's nature, God's character, then kindness is one of those things that we must develop as way of life. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 23 through 24, God provides some insights into His character. This is what the Lord says: let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So God exerts his justice and righteousness by his kindness. God said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 8, in a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord our Redeemer. With everlasting kindness. Now, most of us here have had enough involvement with the Old Testament. We've read it enough, we've heard it enough, that we know very well that God did not always feel kindly toward the Israelites, did he? I mean, he called them some pretty rough things because they had done some pretty rough things. And yet, God always took care of them in the long term. That everlasting kindness was always there despite the circumstances. And in Hosea chapter 11 and verses 1 through 4, God spoke through Hosea to say this: when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Wow. What do these texts, Jeremiah and Hosea and Isaiah, tell you about the kindness in God's character? What part does it play in his overall character? What comes to your thinking as you hear and read these verses? It's hard to divide kindness from love, isn't it? If a person is kind, it's hard to imagine them not being loving, isn't it? So kindness and love are really very much connected. We could fairly say that kindness is an expression of love, just as kindness is an expression of grace. Grace is often just another way of speaking of God's love. So these terms and these demonstrations, these ideas are very closely intertwined with one another, aren't they? And if we talk about the idea that God is love, then we can see that kindness shapes how God demonstrates his love. Other thoughts that you have about this whole business of kindness and God's character? Ah. Tremendous patience and forbearance. Yes. It's like God's love. It goes beyond what we can understand and what we can do. So kindness is very much affiliated or tied up with this idea of patience and forbearance, long-suffering, perseverance. Those all are used together. It can only be that way because, as we were talking about just a moment ago, with all of the ways that God's people disobeyed him, left him, spit in his face, took him for granted, abused him, and for him to still have this everlasting kindness tells us so much about the character of God, doesn't it? But it also tells us about what we are to be like, what we are to strive for at the very least, and to do so very seriously and conscientiously. It's parental. Ah, that's a great way of thinking about it. How would we treat our own child? How should we treat our own child? Tom?
Tough love.
Tough love. Ah, and we know that God did that. God expressed tough love. And yet in his kindness, he did not give up on his people. He did not abandon them. They abandoned him in many cases, but God never did that to them. God showed them tough love for their own benefit because he loved them. And he promised them what he would do at the end of their punishment. So the kindness was always there. Following in his Father God's character, Jesus also demonstrated kindness. How do you see Jesus demonstrating kindness in his ministry? Healing the sick? What else? How did Jesus show kindness to people in his ministry? He treated the poor with dignity. What else? Fed the multitudes? What else? He spoke to a woman who the Jews generally considered dog, the Samaritan woman. But he spoke to her straightforwardly and yet kindly. So that she didn't leave offended and insulted and stalked away. She left realizing that this Jewish man had treated her in her situation like she was a woman to be respected. What else? How else did Jesus demonstrate kindness? Didn't have to, but he did. Sometimes we call that kind of thing the milk of human kindness. We don't hear that term very much anymore, but that's an old phrase that has to do with tenderness, doesn't it? What else? Doug? Yeah. Malchus, the high priest's servant's ear, Peter got emotionally upset, sliced off that servant's ear with his sword, and Jesus put it back on. Didn't have to. And this was, after all, representing his enemy, and did it. You know, when Jesus talked there in the Sermon on the Mount about loving your enemies, here's a very physical, concrete example of that, isn't it? Human kindness. What else? Yes. And we might think, well, that was just limited to the way that Jesus felt about these people as the Savior, as the Son of God. But when you get over to Romans, the beginning of chapter 9, the beginning of chapter 10, Paul says some very similar things about his feelings about the Israelites as well. And so here's someone who was not divine, but very human, could feel and say the same thing. And remember, these are the people who are persecuting him. These are the people who, like Jesus, they're trying to kill him. And yet Paul would say, I could wish myself what? Condemned for the sake of my people Israel. Again, it's that sense of kindness toward people who are considered enemies. You know, another thing that happened on more than one occasion with Jesus that shows his kindness, and it's kind of related to the idea of healing, but that is that he restored people to their life, their physical life. Again, with the healings, with this, that was not something that was necessary for him to do, at least not to the level that he did it. But how many times do we read about these little pictures in the Gospels of Jesus healing crowds of people? He didn't have to heal all of those, did he? But kindness was involved, that he did. We often read about him healing for hours until finally he was exhausted, physically exhausted, had to go away. And you know, there's yet another thing that when I think we look closely, we see kindness. These are people that Jesus taught primarily, overwhelmingly, who were steeped in what we call the Old Testament, in the Law and the Prophets as they referred to it. These were people who knew God's Word, and yet they read it from their own agenda, from their own desires. And one of the ways that Jesus showed kindness was to patiently teach these people about what they knew but didn't recognize. There's something for, I think, you and I to think about in that, in terms of the way we go about teaching too, isn't there? That even though someone may know the word, maybe they know it from a given perspective, and maybe that perspective is not God's perspective. When we practice kindness using God the Father and the Son as our examples, we're demonstrating then part of God's character. And as a result, we're being God-like or godly. So it's not just a trait of niceness to take on, it's a trait of God to take on. Kindness is demonstrated in two ways. One is action. Ralph Waldo Emerson observed, "You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late." This speaks of action, doesn't it? Doing an act of kindness. Herbert Prochnow remarked, "You may be sorry that you spoke, sorry you stayed or went, sorry you won or lost, sorry you thought the worst, sorry so much was spent. But as you go through life, you'll find you're never sorry you were kind." So, what should we do as Christians to demonstrate Christ-like actions of kindness toward others? What are some actions that we can take in a Christ-like example to show kindness to others? Danette, you look like you have something on your mind. So awareness precedes the act of kindness, knowing what they need, knowing that there are people in need. Well, that all of us are in need in one way or another. Tom? Isn't that a great thought? I don't know if you heard what Tom said. He said he drives the grapevine often, and he said he's noticed that there's tow trucks that just constantly troll back and forth up and down the grapevine looking for someone in trouble. Now that provides a great analogy for you and I. People who are looking for people in trouble, so to speak. People who are looking for an opportunity to demonstrate kindness, and it can be in any number of ways. So what are some of the ways that we can demonstrate kindness? There must be some ways. Yes, Mary? So the whole idea of having a mindset of kindness and looking for opportunities to demonstrate it really then sets us up to do whatever action is necessary with a given person at a point in time. Yeah, Boy Scouts, Tom says, be prepared. And that really is true, isn't it? That really is what Christ demonstrated. He was prepared from day one of his ministry. Says something about the training that you and I need to put ourselves through, to be ready, to be looking, to be thinking about an opportunity to demonstrate kindness. Kindness is also demonstrated in speech. Mark Twain once said, "Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." Isn't that great? Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. And so when we're speaking kindness, when we're acting kindness, it's recognized right away. Someone has written this, "Speak kindly in the morning. It lightens the cares of the day and makes the household and all other affairs move along more smoothly. Speak kindly at night, for it may be that before the dawn some loved one may finish his or her space of life, and it will be too late to ask for forgiveness. Speak kindly at all times. It encourages the downcast, cheers the sorrowing, and very likely awakens the erring to earnest resolves to do better, with strength to keep them. Kind words are a balm to the soul. They oil the entire machinery of life and keep it in good running order." So if we are speaking kindness, if we are speaking in kindness, what are some of the kinds of things that won't be part of our speech? Criticism. What else? Gossip. What else? Slander. There's a couple of things that we may not necessarily think about, but I want to urge us to think about them in this whole matter of speaking kindly, with a thought in mind of it blessing other people and of it being Christ-like, of it being of the character of God. I've not found one scripture, and I've not found in the exhaustive concordance one place where it lists cynicism or sarcasm as being a spiritual virtue. I know we sometimes use it because we almost can't help ourselves. But sometimes we get into a habit of using it all the time. And in the process, we may forget to speak gently. We may forget the values of speaking gently and the comparative lack of value of using sarcasm and cynicism as a way of speech. When we demonstrate kindness, it shows that God is working in us and through us. As we've noticed in the actions of God the Father and His Son Jesus, kindness has a powerful effect on the people we direct it toward. When you think back about how God exerted kindness to the Jews, when you think about how Jesus exerted kindness to the people He ministered to, Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles, had a powerful effect upon them. It's been recognized that kindness has converted more sinners than either zeal, eloquence, or learning. Now, if that seems to be a stretch, consider this. Surveys have been done over the decades to find out what it has been that has brought people to Christ. And one figure has consistently come out of all those surveys decade after decade. And that figure is this. 93% of every person who's been baptized has come to that point because of the influence of a family member or a friend. Not a mass-scale evangelism, not some other form of evangelism, but one-on-one, loving, kind influence. When you ask people why they go to a particular church, you know what the most frequent answer is? It's not the doctrine, it's not the practices, it's the kindness shown to them by the people there. One of the things that has been said more and more and more about this congregation by people who come here to visit is, man, this is a friendly congregation. It attracts people. It has a powerful influence. Kindness. Godly kindness. So how can you and I grow in our practice of kind actions and kind speech? What does it take for us to grow in this? Patience? Someone's prayer, patience, prayer. What else? Persistence, Mike? Love? So taking responsibility on ourselves to do it. To recognize then how serious it is, that it's not just being nice, it's being godly. It's participating in the nature of God. It's reflecting the character of God. It's being godly. Mary? Yes. So repetition becomes habit, doesn't it? And habit becomes way of life. So there's a matter of self-discipline in that, isn't there? It's kind of like a resolution where we say, this is what I want to do this year, and the more I do it, the more it becomes part of who I am. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verses 12 through 14, Jesus' follower, Paul, gives an instruction to Christians that will really help each of us to grow in our practices of kindness. There Paul says to these Christians in Colossae, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You and I will practice kindness when we think more about the needs of others and less about our own needs. This is what God the Father and the Son have done for us by sacrificing Jesus for our sins. The ultimate kindness. This is how each person who believes in Jesus as God's Son has been saved, by the kindness of God. This is how each Christian can rejoice in God's blessings forever. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul wrote to Christians, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? How are you responding to God's kindness toward you? Can we be of help to you tonight? If we can, please come forward as we stand and sing this song.